Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters Podcast. This is Family Voices, and I'm Tia Green, AUSA Family Readiness Program Manager. It is my honor to have as our guest today, Ms. Helen Vodemir, Chief Child, Youth, and Schools Branch, Soldiers Family Readiness Division and Quality of Life Task Force in the headquarters, the Department of Army, G9. Ms. Vodemir has over 37 years working in Army Child, Youth, and School Services Programs. Her responsibilities include providing regulatory guidance for child, youth, and school programs, resource requirements to operate these programs, and oversight of execution and compliance with the DoD Child and Youth Standards. Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters Podcast, Ms. Vodemir.
Thank you for having me, Thea. I'm delighted to be here to share information on our Army's Child and Youth Programs today. And please, Thea, just call me Helen.
Well, Helen, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Today's topic is on Army Child, Youth, and School Programs. Now, before we dive in, can you provide a little of your background for our listeners?
Of course. I've spent all of my professional life supporting children and youth and their families. I began my career as a speech and language pathologist in the public schools, working with severely hearing impaired middle school and high school students. And when my husband accepted a civilian position in Germany, I followed him and began my career in Army Child and Youth Programs, working as a teacher in an infant room. You know, I've held many different positions, both overseas and here in the United States, and I've had quite the child and youth journey to my current position here in the Pentagon. I've seen the Army Child Care Program grow from what the child care industry calls the ghetto of child care to be the model for the nation by addressing serious issues with the full support of our military leadership. I know that our mission statement to reduce stress on families by easing their conflict between mission requirements and parental responsibility has real meaning for the Army Child Care Program, and I am very proud to call the Army my home for these past 37 years.
Thank you for all that you do and for your support, Helen. I think we as an Army are very lucky to have someone with your background fighting for our children, youth, and families. So let's get started with our discussion today. When I spoke to Ms. D. Geis in my previous podcast, she told us about the accomplishments of the Quality of Life Task Force. I wonder if you could speak specifically about the Army's efforts as it relates to the task force objective for increasing access to childcare.
Of course, Thea. The inclusion of childcare in the Quality of Life Task Force really demonstrates the commitment of Army leadership in expanding access to our childcare program. Over the past year and a half, we've focused our efforts on increasing childcare facilities, growing the family childcare program, supporting Army fee assistance, and ensuring that our direct childcare staff are competitively compensated. About midway through our efforts, we also added supporting education for Army students to address school issues at Fort Polk and Fort Irwin. You know, I'd like to take a minute to briefly discuss with you each of these objectives in a little more detail. You know, the Army has included the construction of new childcare facilities and the recapitalization of existing facilities in their facility investment plan. The Army is planning to construct 21 new child development centers and refurbish 150 child development centers, school-age centers, and youth facilities over the next 9 years. This effort will add more than 4,000 new childcare spaces across the Army. We plan to build 9 of those by 2026, and 3 of which are funded this year, 2 in Hawaii and 1 in Alaska. And I know that that's great news for our families who are on these wait lists. Considerable effort and investment was also applied to growing the number of family childcare providers. Family Child Care, or FCC for short, is an important child care delivery option for family child care for the Army. In addition to providing child care during normal duty hours, our FCC providers support extended hours, evening and weekend care, and specialty care such as hourly care, infant care, and care for children with special needs. Family Child Care is also a great business opportunity for military spouses, as there will always be a need for their service as they move from installation to installation. This year, we added a $1,000 recruitment bonus for becoming a new FCC provider and a $1,000 relocation bonus to what is already a robust family child care provider incentive program. Centrally funded, indirect, and direct incentives offer stable monthly income for FCC providers. But the incentives also encourage providers to enhance their child care giving skills through professional development. They provide their needed specialty care or after-hours care. It increases our child care spaces, and it helps continue to stay with the Army FCC program as their career path. We recently expanded the marketing tools that we have for growing family child care in hopes of reaching family members through the use of Google Analytics to determine trends and to drive interest in our FCC program. We are hoping that this effort increases the online traffic to the FCC webpage. We also look forward to feedback from a recent survey of FCC providers, which will be able to analyze their responses and develop additional strategies for growing the FCC program. You know, additionally, there are always great local efforts, which at some installations include developing videos to share at newcomer briefings and installation town halls, which focus on how to become an FCC provider and also to bring an awareness to the issue and consequences of providing unauthorized childcare. The Army's fee assistance program was cited in this year's National Defense Authorization Act as a model for the Department of Defense efforts to standardize fee assistance across all of the services. We continue to look at ways to be more efficient in the operation of this very important program that provides care for over 18,000 children each year. You know, child and youth personnel are the most important part of our CYS operation. The Military Child Care Act requires that our caregiving staff compensation be competitive with comparable civilian workforces. For the past several years, salaries for our direct caregiving staff were adjusted to reflect comparable cost of living increases, and we're currently working with the Department of Defense on an initiative to raise the entry-level salary for our direct care staff. When this is approved, the change should occur later this summer, and the increase will certainly make our caregiving positions more competitive with the civilian job market. As I mentioned previously, we also added the quality of schools at Fort Irwin and Fort Polk to address issues about special needs, virtual learning, and school facilities. A major accomplishment was the training of 37 JAG attorneys across the Army to assist families with children with special needs in navigating the special need processes that are challenging for military families, especially when they move to a new school district. At Fort Polk, additional efforts included extending the lease for the North Polk Elementary School that was renewed for 5 years and keeps the school on Fort Polk proper. This was really good news for the families whose children attend pre-K and kindergarten classes at this location. The installation also assisted the local school district in receiving a $7 million Defense Critical Infrastructure Program grant to make improvements to local schools to include a state-of-the-art technology center. Fort Polk also hired an additional school liaison officer to assist with education issues, and they will establish a school behavioral health program as well. You know, Fort Polk has unique challenges because of the distance between the installation and the city of Barstow, so that much of the effort focused on working with the Silver Valley School District and the implementation of a virtual learning platform and an on-site virtual learning center on Fort Irwin, allowing students access to on-site support from the school district. Fort Irwin reports that this initiative is a great success and will be continued beyond the pandemic restrictions. So Thea, that's a very short summary of the Quality of Life Task Force Line of Effort Number 3 initiatives, and we will continue to address and update these issues until they are completed.
That's great information. Thank you, Helen, for that comprehensive review of your efforts to increase access to childcare, because the childcare programs are very important to our soldiers and families. I'm also hoping that you could update us on the status of childcare and youth programs as it relates to our COVID environment.
Well, Thea, first I want to say that I believe that this COVID pandemic has highlighted the importance of childcare to the overall readiness of the Army and our indispensable childcare workers who exhibited the best of the Army values as they supported our families and cared for their children so that they could accomplish their critical mission. I am so proud to represent each and every one of them during the Pentagon. Our child development centers remained opened at 44 of our 72 locations in the first days of the pandemic to serve mission essential service members and civilians. Today, every childcare center is open at 50 to 75% of their pre-COVID attendance. However, an installation may still experience a temporary closure of a room or an FCC home if there is a positive report of COVID. Our child development centers are following the Centers for Disease Control COVID guidance and Army Health Protection Conditions guidance in determining attendance capacity. We still do comprehensive cleaning and sanitation procedures are still in place to ensure the safety and health of our children. School-age care programs provided on-site virtual learning support for our school-age children and ensured social distancing to allow parents to return to work, knowing that their school-agers were safe and monitored throughout the day. I can assure you that as soon as installations are back to normal operations, the child and youth programs will be ready to get back to normal as well.
Yes, I agree. And again, this is more great news and good to hear, Helen, because I know that our soldiers and families appreciated all of the efforts to keep child development centers open and safe for their children. Now, speaking of getting back to normal, PCS season is coming up. What advice can you give someone who is moving this summer or has new childcare needs and is not already on a childcare wait list?
What a great question, Thea, and I'm glad you asked. The single point of entry to request childcare is through the DOD online request for care system, militarychildcare, and that's all one word, .com, or as we say, MCC for short. MCC provides a single online gateway for our families to access military-operated or military-subsidized childcare options worldwide across all branches of service. The MCC site enables families to create a household profile, conduct childcare searches, submit requests for care, and manage their requests at any time from any location. The process is very simple. Once a family sets up a household profile, they can search for a full range of military childcare options to meet their specific needs in a specific location. Once they conduct their search, they can request care in any of the programs in their search results. When a space becomes available, the family is contacted by Army Parent Central Services to be placed in the program of their choice. Now, families should begin the request for care process as soon as they know that they will have a child care need. For example, a family who was enrolled in a CDC at Fort Hood who receives orders for Hawaii can immediately put in a request for care for a space or spaces in the Hawaii child care program and specify a date that that care is needed. Now, it is critical for families to keep their household profile updated as this could impact your offer for care, especially as you're moving and you want to make sure you have an up-to-date email and telephone number so that you can be contacted. Again, Thea, that website is militarychildcare, all one word, .com, or families can call the CYS Parent Central Services office at each installation if they need assistance registering on the site.
Well, this is, again, great information. But what if a family needs care and can't access care on the installation, or they aren't stationed near an installation?
Great question, Thea. You know, our Family Fee Assistance Program helps families find and pay for off-post childcare. Army families who cannot access installation childcare due to long waiting lists or geographic location may request an enhanced childcare referral on the Childcare Aware of America Army website. Financial assistance may be available to buy down that cost of care if the family selects a provider who meets quality standards and who charges fees that are higher than you would pay on post. However, families stationed at an installation must obtain a letter of non-availability from the installation CYS program in order to qualify for this financial assistance. Army fee assistance is also available for active duty families who are geographically dispersed, for example, recruiters, and for activated Army Reserve and National Guard families that do not live near an Army installation.
So we've talked a lot about child care programs today. Now, can you provide a quick update on programs for Army youth?
I would be happy to provide some update on our program for Army youth because these programs do not always receive the attention that they deserve. Did you know that the largest child and youth program is our youth sports and fitness program that provides sports activities for over 90,000 children each year? Youth sponsorship programs are also available, and they facilitate transitions from installation to installation and school to school by providing information, a sense of belonging, and the opportunity to make new friends in both the youth center and in school. Our school liaison officers are available to assist Army families with school transition and to facilitate communication among schools, parents, and installation leaders. Our Youth Outreach Initiative provides programs and resources and partners with youth service organizations such as the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, 4-H, Anchored for Life, and various other organizations that also serve our geographically dispersed National Guard and Army Reserve youth. These are just a very few of the many programs available to our youth, and I encourage everyone to check out these programs at each of their duty locations.
I agree. That's awesome. And again, just more great information. And as we all know, April is the month of the military child. Are there any special activities planned?
Thea, this April marks the 35th anniversary of the Month of the Military Child. This year's theme is Military Children and Youth, a resilient force in a changing world, and it is really appropriate when we think about the challenges of this past year. Plans are underway at all levels to celebrate and commemorate this very special observance. And while many of the activities this year will be celebrated in a virtual or socially distanced manner, there will still be plenty of ways to make this month special. The Army has planned some worldwide events, and that includes a Young Lives Big Stories contest, which is open to all Army-connected children and youth preschool through 12th grade. On the 6th of April, CYS children and youth ages 3 to 8, CYS staff, and FCC providers will have the opportunity to participate in an attempt to break the Guinness World Record for the most virtual soccer ball passes. Purple Up Week is April the 18th to the 24th, and wearing purple is a visible way to show support and thank all military children and youth for their strength and their sacrifices. And finally, there will be a Boys and Girls Club Military Teen Summit on April 23rd and the 24th. CYS Programs is partnering with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America to offer this first virtual military teen summit in conjunction with Operation Megaphone, where Army youth will have an opportunity to discuss relevant issues with military youth from all of the other services. And of course, there are many local activities and celebrations being planned at each Army installation throughout the month, and I hope that everyone will be able to join in the celebration with us.
First, wow, 35th anniversary, and yes, I agree. What an appropriate thing for this year. Military children and youth, a resilient force in changing the world. Again, thank you for the great information on the Month of the Military Child activity. I also want to thank you for ensuring our listeners that the Army is making every effort to increase access to our child, youth, and school programs. Helen, thank you for your time today and for all of your support. But before we go, can you please remind our listeners where they can go and learn more about Child and Youth Initiative?
Thank you so much, Thea. It was a pleasure to speak with you today. Please check out the Army Quality of Life webpage at army.mil/quality of life, all one word, or the Army Family and MWR website for more information on child and youth services at armymwr.com.
Well, we've come to the end of our podcast episode. To all our listeners, thank you for joining us. And to you, Helen, thank you again for being such a wonderful guest.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah!